Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of worship through song. Songs that remind us of your majesty and your glory. And God, that you alone are worthy of our highest praise and our highest honor. God, I pray that as we now go into this part of the worship, continuing to worship, we've sung those songs, and now, Lord, we spend time in your word. Thank you. And God, help me to, Lord, my mouth be your mouthpiece. And God, may I say that you want me to say. God, may you fill me with your spirit, and I may be obedient to you. And Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, we come to the second of the I am statements that Jesus made some seven times through John's gospel following a sign, a miracle. Jesus gave those sign statements, or those I am statements. Last week we talked about, he said, I am the bread of life. Today we're going to see Jesus as the light of the world. In John chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 12 and read through verse 30. John 8, beginning in verse 12. It said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So now the Jews said, will he kill himself, because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. As my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his words. Jesus, the light of the world. For light, there to be light, there also has to be darkness. Light is a greater force than darkness. This morning, someone came in and turned these lights on, and the light drove the darkness away. You do that at home. If you go into a dark room, you turn the light switch on, and the light comes on, and the darkness goes. In one of his online commentaries, Dr. Albert Moeller, who's president of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, wrote, he said, when Isaiah told of the coming of the Prince of Peace, he spoke of light dispelling darkness. And he said the metaphor of light is central to our celebration of Christmas. And let me just say, I realize this is not a Christmas message. However, there are only 255 days left until Christmas, if you wanted to know. And then he goes on to write, he said, after all, even as John introduces his gospel by identifying Jesus as the light, as the Word who became flesh, John also described Jesus as the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. The image of light dispelling darkness is central to our understanding of the incarnation and its meaning. When Jesus was presented at the temple shortly after his birth, the aged Simon, or Simeon, recognized this child. And Simeon, if you remember studying the Christmas story, Simeon said, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Dr. Moeller goes on to say the metaphor of light makes sense only against the background of darkness. If there were no darkness, there would be no need for light. And he goes on to say in the Bible, darkness is a rich metaphor that points to a double reality. In one sense, darkness points to the simple fact of human ignorance. Those who are in the dark, those who lack knowledge. To the Jewish mind, this metaphor had particular application to the Gentile world, a world that had not received the grace of God through the revelation of the Torah, the prophets, and the written revelation of God. Even today, we know untold millions still dwell in deep darkness, having never heard about the one true God or of Jesus Christ, his only Son. The Jews would say of the Gentiles, they are in darkness. In a second sense, darkness refers to evil and willful blindness. This points beyond the mere fact of simple ignorance. And he said, in this sense, darkness refers to the fact that many will reject the light. As John explained, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. This is hard to believe. The Son of God took on human flesh and came to live among sinful humanity. But the vast majority did not recognize him for who he is. As a celebration of light, Christmas is the festival that points to the glory of God in the revelation of the Son in Bethlehem's humble manger. And he said, we rightly point to Christ's birth as the central event of human history, the dividing line between the age of darkness and the age of light. And he said, this is reason enough to celebrate Christmas, for our response to this gift of light must be a celebration, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. The image of light is central, not only to Christmas, but it is central to Christianity. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said, this is the sum and substance of Christmas. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a dark land have now experienced the shining of the light of life. And so we celebrate the fact that light has come into the world. Jesus is indeed the light of the world. He is the one who drives the darkness away. And you know as well as I do that there is a spiritual darkness in America today. It is a spiritual darkness in the world today. Jesus had just attended the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. This feast was celebrated to remind God's people of their pilgrim journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. And on the evening of the first night of the feast, there was a ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple, which involved the ritual lighting of the four golden candlesticks in the court of the women For additional reflection, each person lit 4 candlesticks and set them in a floating bowl, producing such a spectacle of illumination that is said that all Jerusalem reflected the light. All night long the light glowed. This festival reminded the Jewish people that God had promised long ago that a child would be born, that he would be the anointed one of God to redeem his people. There's that time at Christmas, generally, we will have a candlelight service at a point where the lights will be turned off and the candles will be turned on. We use electric or battery-operated candles now because of the danger of fire and the danger of knowing some of you with real matches and real candles. But light, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. For Israel, it was a time of darkness and despair. The nation was occupied by a foreign power, and their dreams and hopes were blunted by reality and blighted by circumstances. So they longed for the Messiah to come. And against this backdrop of darkness, Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. Remember the first claim we looked at last Sunday, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And today we see him as the light of the world. And I think in order for us to understand why Jesus said this and what led Jesus up to saying this, I think it would help us to look back at the first part of this chapter, those first 11 verses where Jesus had performed a miracle of healing the woman caught in adultery, of forgiving her sins. So look back in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, and of course they knew what the law said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. And so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. That statement that Jesus made came directly after he had forgiven this woman of her sin and told her to go and sin no more. The scribes and the Pharisees have brought this woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. Now the word darkness that Jesus uses in verse 12, the word darkness could describe her life. Her life was filled with darkness. Her life was a dark light. She was a woman who had been caught in adultery. A sin generally, not always, generally carried out in darkness. But this woman's life was filled with darkness. Today, that darkness of her soul would be brought face to face with the light of the world. Her life was filled with the darkness of sin. Her accusers, however,'s lives were also filled with the darkness of hypocrisy. Today they too would face the light of the world. Jesus would not only convict the woman of her sin, but these men would be convicted of their sin as well, because it would be these men that would say, she's been caught in adultery. But then you notice what it says when Jesus said, the one of you that has no sin, you be the one to throw the first stone. And starting with the oldest down to the youngest, they dropped their rocks and walked away because they too were convicted of their sin as they faced the light of the world. You see, one thing about light is that it reveals. A phrase that we sometimes use is, well, we just need to shed a little light on the matter. Now, what does that mean? It means that light reveals. Light reveals a lot of things. If you ever go into a dark room and turn on the light, you see these little floating things that float down. It's called dust. Light reveals. It means to reveal, to disclose a truth. And Jesus is the light of the world, and in that he enables us to see the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. Jesus could confidently and absolutely, without any equivocation, say, I am the light of the world. And he is the light of the world in opposition to the darkness of the world. So let's look at, for a few moments, the light of the world. Notice the source of the light in verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We see the identity of that source. And in those simple words, Jesus reveals himself to be the uncreated light of deity clothed with humanity. You remember in Genesis, the Father said, let there be light. And it was so. Jesus was there when the Father said that. There's never been a time when he was not. God said, let us make man in our image. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we have the prologue of John's gospel. And John presents the Christmas story, though again, I realize it's not Christmas. John presents to us the Christmas story in a different light. If you go to Matthew and Luke, they take us to the birth of Jesus. Mark pretty well starts with the ministry of Jesus. But John takes us not to that stable in Bethlehem. John takes us to eternity past. Listen to what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now listen to this. Speaking of John, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And then in John 8:2, the Bible tells us that it was early in the morning when they brought the woman to Jesus. Perhaps the sun was just rising. Warren Wiersbe points out that for the Jew, the sun was a symbol of God. There is for our universe only one sun, and it is the center. And the source of life. So Jesus was saying that there is but one God who is the center and the source of all life, and I am that source. Some of you tried to watch the eclipse last Monday? The eclipse. Some of you drove a great distance to see the eclipse. Most were disappointed with the eclipse. But the sun has to shine. Darkness cannot overcome light. But notice the proximity of that source in John chapter 9. And John could well be called the apostle of light, because more is written about Jesus as the light than any other place. John 9, beginning verse 1, says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. This man, since the day he was born, had spent his life in darkness. He was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? And he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming, darkness is coming, when no man can work. As long as I am the light, I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus had turned his darkness into light. A man who had spent his life in darkness was now able to see the light of life. But more than that, it was the light of the world that took his darkness away. The sun, I'm told, is 92,900,000 miles away. Meteorologists tell us that the sun's light reaches us at a speed of 186,300 miles per second. Our mind boggles trying to comprehend such speeds and distances. I remember years ago, my dad had a lot of eye surgery, and he had been to Memphis having eye surgery, and coming home, my sister was driving him home, and he could see a little better than he had before, and he said, Wendy Ann, you're going to have to slow down. You're driving faster than I can see. Well, to drive faster than somebody can see is moving pretty good. It's hard for us to comprehend the speed of light. Dr. John Bell, who was a professor at Edinburgh University, would open his course on the doctrine of God by saying, gentlemen, we must remember that in discussing God, we cannot talk about him without his hearing every word we say. He said we may be able to talk to our fellows, as it were, behind their backs, but God is everywhere, yes, even in this classroom. And so when we speak of God, God knows what we're saying. He hears the words that we say. But notice the course of the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said, who follows me, the one who follows after me will not walk in darkness. It is a dangerous thing to try to walk in the dark. When we go outside at night, what do? We usually take a flashlight. Why? Because the light beam shines in front of us, and it gives us safety as we walk. You don't shine the flashlight behind you. You follow it. Well, Jesus came to guide us as the light of the world. He is the guide. David, the psalmist, said, thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp under my feet. So is the light. He guides us on straight paths. And the Bible has so much to say about light. When we shine a flashlight, we refer to the light that goes out as a beam of light. The light beam of knowledge is that which goes. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul writes, for it is God, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ, it's almost like there's a light turns on and someone says, I get it. Last night, Susan's great nephew had gotten married. I did his wedding last night, and another of her great nephews was talking to her nephew by marriage and myself. It was a gathering of nephews, I guess. But anyway, Russ, her nephew's son, came over to where we were sitting and talking, and he said to Riley, he said, can you baptize me? He said, I want you or Uncle David one to baptize me. And Riley said, man, I'd love to. Tell me about when you were saved. He said, well, my class went on a retreat, and we were sitting, and they told us just to sit and meditate and think about God. And he said, I was sitting there in the darkness, and the light came on. And I thought, I need to ask Jesus into my heart. And that's what happens when Christ comes into our life. The light comes on, and we say, now I get it. Do you know what Jesus said in John? That those who are not following him are walking in what? Darkness. They've not come to the light. And so there's the light of knowledge. As you trust Christ as your personal Savior, that light beam of the knowledge of Him will penetrate your soul. Then there's the light beam of fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says, "But we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship with one another. We together walk in the light. If we were to go into a room that had no windows where you could see and turn off the lights, it would be dark. And I could light a single candle and it would light up the room somewhat. But if there were other people in the room and everyone lit their candle at the same time, it would fill the room with light. And so there's the fellowship that we share in knowing the light of the world. And then there's the light beam of holiness. In Proverbs 4:18, Solomon writes, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So there's the course of the light. And then there's the force of the light. Again, verse 12, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." In the physical realm, light is spoken of as a radiant force, is spoken of as power or energy. We go out here, there's a substation. Sometimes it's referred to as a power station. Pontotoc Electric, what? Power Association. They keep the lights on, thankfully. A few weeks ago when the weather got stormy and the lights were off, several people or several households were in darkness until those guys got out and got the power back on. It was a force. It's a searching force. In John 3:18-21 said, Jesus said, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." As a searching force, this divine light operates like an X-ray. It exposes life and it reveals character. God's word is a lamp, it's a light. It exposes as we read it. It reveals our sin to us. But it's also a saving force. In Psalm 27, verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And it is a shining force. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Isn't that interesting? Jesus had said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." Now in that great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." How can he be the light and us be the light at the same time? Well, he's the light of the world, but he shines his light through us. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If Jesus is the light of life in your life, then that light must of necessity shine out through your personality and through your activity. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." And we're to go out of this place, and today, tomorrow, as we go out into the world, we're to shine for Him in a world that desperately needs light. To shine through the darkness, the moral corruption, the spiritual darkness that is in this world. And then in Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness." Pre-Christ, pre-Christian life. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you've met Jesus, the light of the world, then you will inevitably be a shining light for Him. You will radiate His glory. We are to reflect His glory to the world. That is our job. That is our purpose. That you and I, as believers, we reflect the glory of God to the world. And again, the world, light is stronger than darkness. And we're to shine as lights for Him. But the truth is, Charles Swindoll said, most of us want to have flashlight parties. We go to a place called church on Sunday morning and we sit around and we shine our lights on each other. But he said, that's not where most of the darkness is. He said, the darkness is out there and we're to shine as lights in the world. Would you bow with me for a moment? Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Not just in the church house, but in your house, and in your workhouse, and in your schoolhouse. Wherever you are, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. To be a shining light for Him. Father, I pray today for those in darkness. Not only in our world, there are millions still in darkness. But God, there may be someone in this building today who's lost their life. They're in spiritual darkness. And Lord, they may not even realize it, but your word reminds us that outside of Christ, our lives are filled with darkness. Jesus, you are the light. And God, I pray that today someone would come to the light, would know Jesus as Savior. But Lord, I think there's also a message for us as Christians. God, the truth is some of us didn't shine very brightly this past week. Oh, we had opportunities to. We had moments that we could have easily let our light shine before the world, that they could have seen our good works and glorified our Father in heaven. But for whatever reason, myself included, we failed to do so. But Lord, could we, each one of us as believers today, recommit our hearts to you today and say, Lord, I'm going to let my light shine this week. And I know it's not going to be easy because the darkness is so strong. But Lord, may I burn brightly for you this week. Lord, may your name be glorified in everything we do. And as we move into these moments of invitation, we just simply ask your will be done. In Christ's name, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. If you'd like further information about how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life, or more information about West Heights Baptist Church, visit our website at westheightsbaptist.org.